The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
You may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. In chapter 30, we find that he talks about the blessing of the Lord. And let me ask you a question. When you do the things that God has asked you to do as a believer, what comes with it? What do blessings mean? What do blessings mean? We often say, well, God gives me blessings. But what does blessings mean? Well, it is being obedient. Being obedient come blessings. But what? Well, not forgiveness involved. No, forgiveness. Blessings are the joy, the pleasure, the bounty, the experience of enjoying the benefits of your life without aggravation. Would that be not nice? Now, here comes the kicker. When you are what? Obedient to what? To the word of the Lord. Now, the second thing comes when you're not obedient and you haven't done what God has asked you to do. What does he call that? No. Cursing. He said it brings a curse upon your life. And everything that has happened to your enemies and everything that you wish wouldn't happen and couldn't happen, what? It happens to you. And the reason that it happens is not that God has accomplished it, but because you have not been obedient, that you have brought these things upon. All right, I want you to say that. So you walk out of here understanding this concept. Because when we come to chapter 30, it is important for us to understand that concept. Ladies and gentlemen, it's important for us to understand that many of the things that happen to us are not caused by God allowing them to happen to us or bringing them upon us. They happen because we do it to ourselves. We do it to ourselves. Now, I'll tell you, the difference between, and I've said this before, the difference between mental illness and mental health is this. Mental illness or mental health is recognizing you have a problem and you recognize what? That you need help and that you need to do something about it. That's mental health. Mental illness is what? Doing things consistently, causing you problems, and doing them what? Over and over and on purpose. That's mental illness. The illustration that I use along with this, when where Lowe's is now, there used to be Riverside General Hospital. Some of you are aware of that. And on the third floor was the mental lockup area where I used to go visit some of the friends and members of our church who had mental issues. And as I went in the door one day, there was a fellow sitting on a chair as they let me into the institution. And he was banging his head on the wall. And I said, you ought not to do that. I said, you're going to hurt yourself. Yeah, but it feels so good when I stop. That's mental illness. And people do it to themselves, do they not? So when you blame God for some of these things, remember, it may not be God doing it or even involved with it. It's because you are not spiritually in the place where you ought to be. And because of that, you say, well, man, you know, and this morning you're going to talk, well, I'm going to be here a few more weeks. And you know what? I'd rather leave a positive involvement with you that you recognize that and say, well, maybe some of the things that are going on in my life are because I brought it up on myself. Now, if you accept that, that's mental health. When you don't, we'll move on. Okay. Chapter 30. And it shall come to pass when all of these things are come upon thee, when all these things happen to you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether the Lord thy God hath driven thee. When you're in a circumstance and a situation that is undealable and miserable, maybe what will happen will be this. You remember that when you do what I've commanded you to do, you receive what? Blessing. And when you don't do what I've asked you to do, you'll receive the curse. You'll remember it is not because of me. I have told you what was going to happen. It's like the child, and I have had calls over this over the years for this kind of call. And the mother called me and said, you know, I can't get my son to stop putting paper clips in the wall sockets. I said, when once it zaps him, he will remember and not do it anymore. I said, have him wash his hands when you know he's going to go do something like that. And don't dry him real good. So that when he gets zapped, he'll know it hurts. And unless you're mentally ill, what? You won't do it again. And this is what God is saying in verse, that's why I took the time in verse number one to talk to you about this. Because we have so many people. Well, why are you ill? Why are you not feeling well? Well, I haven't been taking my medication. Whose fault was that? God's? Yeah. Well, you know, I'm having a hard time paying my bills. Where are you going to work? Well, I just haven't felt like it. Hello? And when we begin to understand this concept, it's very practical, very reasonable. Why do you get so upset? Now listen to this very carefully. When you lose control and you're upset to the place where you don't know what you're going to do and how you're going to do it, who are you hurting? Yourself. Yourself. And I think that when we come to this realization, this portion of God's word is so practical that we need to take a moment to pause here, just for a moment, to recognize the factor that as Christians, sometimes we don't make good decisions, or we do not deal with circumstances, or we do not make a decision that we know that is good for us and for those that are around us. And that's why sometimes, many times, most of the time, you're in the pickle that you're in. Don't blame God. Don't blame Pastor Gordon. Don't blame the church. Blame yourself. And he says at the end of the verse, notice what he says. Look at it. And thou shalt call them in mind, or to mind, among all the nations. When you're going through the circumstances and places you don't want to be and doing things you don't want to have to do, you need to call back to memory. If I would just serve the Lord and get things right with the Lord. I had a person come here a few weeks ago, and they were said, I have major problems, and I'm not sure what to do about it, and I'm not sure how to handle it, but I knew that the first place I needed to come was what? To the house of the Lord. And if I get my life straightened out with the Lord, then what? Everything else will straighten out. You want a better life? Have a closer walk. Oh, Pastor Gordon, how many times have I said that over the years? Okay, verse number two. And shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I've commanded thee this day, thou and thy children. Notice he includes not only the individual, but the family. Thou and thy children, with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Not only you. Not only you, but those in your family that you can influence. When they get their act together the way the Lord would have them to do, and with your influence, God has promised to what? To bless you. To bless you. Oh, you say, well, I know that. But the question is, are you doing it? Are you doing it? Verse number three, that the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, the problems you have and the circumstances you're involved with, and have compassion on thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If you'll just get right with me, if you just serve me, if you just be in the place where you know you ought to be, I'll put you in a place of comfort and contentment. Now, knowing that truth, it should generate for a person who is sharp enough to do what? To go in that direction. Is that correct? There have been times over the years, and I'll be sharing this with you now, there have been times over the years where I have said this to individuals and said, I'm just not going to do that. I'm just not going to do that. I said, then suffer. Because there's nothing I can do for you unless you're willing to do that. And it begins with the heart, does it not? With the emotion, with the inner portion of the individual. Well, I'm going to do that. I want God's best. I want God's best. You know, you can sit at the table and have prime rib and double stuffed potatoes and thinking, oh, man, this is good. Or you can sit at the table, and nothing wrong with this either, and have hot dog and beans. What would you prefer? Hot dog and beans? Well, you want to live in the hot dog and bean world? More power to you. But it's nice to have a solid piece of meat once in a while. Yeah? It's nice to have that little special item on the side. Yes or no? Yeah. Well, you want the special item on the side? What do you need to do in your Christian life? Be obedient and serve the Lord. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, but I want to do what I want to do. My own response is, what? Suffer. Yeah. Pull yourself through the knothole. Be miserable. But don't make anybody else miserable. Okay. Verse number 4. If any of thine be driven out unto the uttermost parts of the heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will I fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. Now we know, for a matter of fact, that God blessed Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Did he not? He blessed Israel. He blessed the 12 tribes. But only when what? When they obeyed. We have the articles that we've gone through in the years past of the kings of Israel. When they had a good king, everybody did well. When they had a bad king, what happened? They said, well, if the king can do it, what? I can do it. You see, your influence makes that difference. You say, well, my influence hasn't done much and it hasn't accomplished very much. Let me tell you what, it's accomplished more than you realize. I have been told by some, well, Pastor Gordon, you know, I come to church, but the roof will fall in. Well, I said, it's been since 1923. It hasn't yet. And I said, I've had some real rascals here. And the Lord has preserved the roof. And he's going to preserve your life as well. You say, well, you know, I've done a lot of things I shouldn't do and I haven't done. And I shouldn't have done and I did do. And I'm not sure that I... Let me tell you what. 1 John 1:9 was written this way. If we confess our sins, what? He's faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. You say, well, yeah. But you know... After you ask the Lord for forgiveness, then you need to forgive yourself. And he said, if you'll just do those things, and what I have wanted for you and always have wanted for you is God's best for you. And also that God would bless you and encourage you and strengthen you and reinforce your lives. And I've spoken about it and spoken about it and spoken about it. And some people go, la, 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 la. Just a few days ago, I was called up on the phone and there was a major problem with a family member. And they said, what do I need to do? And I said, well, first of all, you need to be in the house of the Lord. Secondly, you need to be in prayer and you need to be in the Word. You need to read the Word of God. If it's only a few verses every day, read the Word of God. And they said, well, you know, maybe it's demonic. I said, no, it's not demonic. It's self-inflicted. They didn't like that. I said, I don't like what you're saying. And you know, I said, the reason you don't like what I'm saying is because what? There you go. Yeah, you see? And you think, well, that's all good, and that kind of relationship is good for that person, but not for me. Yeah, yeah. And this is what he's saying here. Notice verse number 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest what? Live. Circumcision was a symbol and a demonstration of cleanliness and purity. He said, we don't need to do the outward flesh. What we need to first of all deal with is the heart. What's your heart like? Now, the Bible tells us the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Is that right? You can't tell me, all of you sitting here in this room, including yours truly, that we haven't had a wicked thought once in a while. Hello? Is that right? Is that right? Are you tuned in? You say, well, I shouldn't have thought that, but I... And when you get the heart right, in the right position, then everything else falls into line. The heart is desperately wicked. Someone said to me one day, several weeks ago, said, Pastor Gordon, are you standing outside of my window and watching me during the week? I've had several people ask me that. I said, well, when you speak on Sunday morning, it's like you've been listening to what I've been saying all week. And I said, no. But you know who does? The Holy Spirit does. And you know what he does? Hello? You know what? That shouldn't be in your heart. That shouldn't be in your life. And you're going, yeah, but I just don't have the right spirit. God said, let's take care of the heart first. That's the Old Testament. The Word of God says, thy word have I hid in my, that I might not. Oh, y'all know that. Isn't that amazing? And as we look at this portion of God's word, he said, deal with your heart first. And then when you deal with your heart, not only will your heart be handled, but also your children and your family. When you have the right spirit. Oh. Well, you know, some days are just tough for me. Let me tell you what. They're tough for everybody sometimes. Is that right? You ever have a lousy day? You go to take the milk carton out of the refrigerator and it breaks or falls on the floor and the milk goes everywhere. You go to get in your car and don't want to start. You go to get dressed and you put your foot through your sock. I mean, you know, all kinds of good things like that. That's all called what? Life. Now, how it depends on how you deal with it. How are you going to deal with it? How are you going to handle it? Are you going to deal with your heart and make sure that it's cleansed and kept clean starting the day? Every morning when I wake up, I always say, Lord, thank you for the day, another day to serve you. And Lord, help me to serve you and do that which is pleasing in your sight. If you start out with the right attitude, it'll control the entire day. Verse number 7. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine, what? Your enemies. And on them that hate thee, which persecute thee. Yeah. Remember the old saying that kids used to say? I'm rubber. You're glue. Everything you say will bounce off me and stick on you. God said that's a principle that's going to work. You do what I've asked you to do, and I'll just handle all these circumstances. I'll handle all these situations. Verse number 8. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand and the fruit of thy body and in the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land for the good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, and he rejoiced over, as he rejoiced over your father. You'll be in the place where you'll be the happiest. Someone said, Yeah, I can't believe it's been almost 46 years since you've been here. Anybody been here as long as I have yet, still? There's several. Two or three. Yeah, I remember some of you rascals. Okay. And I remember visiting you and calling on you, praying with you. Is that right? Yes or no? Yeah. And the point in part is, God has worked a marvelous work in the lives and hearts of those who serve him and honor him. And he said, I'm the Lord, and I'm going to do this. And if you'll just return and obey this day. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord. Verse number 8. Verse number 9. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous. That's called prosperity. God said, you get right with me and you do what's right, and you'll have more than sufficient to take care of you. You know that's true? God will take care of you. Verse number 10. And if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he has written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, for the commandment which I command thee this day, look at it now, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It's not a secret. This morning, you are now responsible. You have heard the truth. You have now known what you're supposed to do and what you should do and what will come if you do what you're supposed to do. And God said, if you'll just do that, I will bless you. I will make you prosperous. Somebody said, well, I'm doing okay the way I am. You can always do what? Oh, y'all know that. Strange thing is we don't apply it. Is it not? It's a strange thing that we don't apply it. Knowing that we'll do something well and that this won't be better. Verse 12. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring us unto us, that we may hear it and do it? It's not up in heaven. Where is the promises of God? They're written in what? The book. Are they there for who? For you, for me. Verse 13. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us, unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Look at verse number 14. You may want to underline this. But the word of the Lord is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth, in thy heart, that thou mayest what? Do it. Oh. Say, well, I didn't know and I wasn't aware of it. I have made sure over the years that you have known. I've talked to people who are unsaved and led them to the Lord. I've baptized them. I've led them to become members of Riverside Baptist. I have worked with them. I have called on them. I have called on the phone. I've called personally. I've stood at the door when they haven't been home and when I haven't been able to get a hold of them, and I've prayed at their door that God would work and move. And as they put their hand on the doorknob of their home, that God would convict their heart. Oh. You mean as I go into my house, I might feel convicted because you've been there and you prayed at the door? Yes. And not that you don't know, but that what? You do know. Notice what he says in verse 14 again. Look at it. An important phrase. But the word of the Lord is very what? Very nigh, very near unto thee, in thy mouth, in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Can it get any plainer than that? Any more simple than that? No. Verse number 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I commanded thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest what? Live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thy heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them. And I want to mention something here in verse 17. I have had the occasion where people have said, well, I haven't seen your car in the driveway, so I just kept going driving through because you weren't there that day. I said, I drove my wife's car. Oh, I didn't know you were there. Let me tell you what. If we call Reverend Christian Torres to be pastor of Riverside Baptist, don't use the term, well, Pastor Gordon's not anymore there anymore. Let me tell you what, the Lord is here. The Lord is here. And not only is the Lord here, but your heart should be here. If this is your church, you should be faithful to serve the Lord and say, I'm going to do everything I can if God calls him to be our pastor. Because we're just voting this morning, later on, to extend a call for him to come. And I'm going to have to call him this morning after the meeting is over and say, Brother Torres, the church would like to extend a call or not extend a call or whatever it may be. And then he's going to have to accept. But I would tell you this morning, in regards to that circumstance, God will give him, and he, as he sat at my table, I want to tell you very frankly, you could see the power of God working on his life. I said, if God calls you here, God will allow you to love these people and care about them as I care about them and pray for them. But I want you to know the Holy Spirit does that work in your life. And he said, I'm beginning to feel that call. I'm beginning to feel that power of God working in my life. He says, it's frightening. I said, yes, it is. Because we're responsible for the spiritual welfare of these people. Moses said, I want you to understand this concept. You serve the Lord. You honor him. You put him first place. Don't let someone turn you away. Verse number 18. I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Make the choice. Serve the Lord. Don't have your eyes on the individual. Focus on the Lord. And I would say this morning to you, as he says, serve the Lord, as he says, follow the Lord, he said, now I want you to understand, verse number 20, last verse. This is why. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord doth swear unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give unto them. You want the blessing of God? You do what the Lord would have you do. Amen? And rejoice in being able to do so.